All right. Everyone can actually stand back up. All right. I'm going to go over the rules one more time. It's been a long weekend, okay? Confirm or deny. We make a declarative statement. And then you either confirm that statement or you deny that statement. You confirm that statement by doing what? Standing. You deny that statement how?
Standing.
Are you allowed to explain yourself?
No.
No, your actions say enough. Your actions say enough. All right, here's the deal. We started off like here because I was just getting to know you. And then this morning we stepped it up a little bit. And so we're going for it today, okay? We're going for it today. All right. We'll start it off easy though. We'll start off with some easy ones. Confirm or deny you took a nap this afternoon?
Yes.
I took a nap. I took one. Wow. I'm going to be honest. There we go. That's less people than I thought, to be honest. That's, wow. All right, back up, back up. Confirm or deny? Confirm or deny? Dodgeball brought out an ugly side of you. Dodgeball brought out an ugly side of you. I want y'all to look around and see if anyone's sitting down that needs to be standing and make sure you point at them right now and be like, you totally need to be standing up. All right. All right. Everyone back up. Everyone back up. Confirm or deny. You have not showered in the last 48 hours. You have not showered in the last 48 hours. Everyone back up. Everyone back up. Everyone back up. All right. Confirm or deny. You have a crush on someone that dictated how you spent your free time. You have a crush on someone that dictated how you spent your free time. There you go. Hey, remember, like, I think there's a few lists of things that God hates, and one of them is lying, so just remember that. Just remember that. Just remember that. All right. Confirm or deny, you are sitting within three or four people of someone you would like to ask out on a date or someone you wish would ask you out on a date. Just ask, why not? If they say no, you're going on the exact same amount of dates you already are. So why not? Just ask. All right, here we go. Confirm or deny. You have lied at some point playing confirm or deny. We got a few liars. All right, last one. Stand up. Last one. Okay, confirm. This might not be anyone. We're just going to go fishing a little bit here, okay? Confirm or deny. You've never peed in the shower, but after seeing this morning how many people pee in the shower, you're now kind of thinking about it. You're now kind of thinking about it. All right. Welcome. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. All right. Y'all can sit down. Y'all can all sit down. Oh, man. Listen, one thing you can know about me is, like, I have multiple soapboxes, but one of them is on flattery, like, where you congratulate people on things that really aren't true about them, like you're trying to be nice, but you're actually lying to them. So knowing that, I want y'all to hear me say this. So I get to talk, not to, like, tons of people, I don't do this a ton, but I do it some. I'll say, y'all have more, like, hype energy than, like, any group I've ever talked. It's awesome. That's a compliment. So I want to start off. I literally have. What is it? It took the third time through to recognize that y'all were spelling cats. I thought it was like a CSF thing. I was like, wow, they're really coordinated. That's impressive. Just like a flash mob that y'all do on campus or something like that. All right, so I want to start off telling y'all a story about me. And so who here, you probably did. I'm just going to tell you this. I only went to prom once. When I, y'all are like, oh, I feel sad. But I'm going to tell you why I only went to prom once, okay? I went to prom once because my junior year of high school, I asked this girl to prom that I had a super big crush on. And I was trying to go in. It was a failed strategy, but I was trying to go in through the friend zone route. And so I asked, she's like, I don't have anyone. So I was like, let's go to prom together. So we had our group. It was awesome. So we show up, I don't know what y'all's traditions are. Ours, you go to someone's house, you take pictures, and you do all that beforehand. You go out to eat, then you go to prom. And so we did all that. We went there, and I should have known the night was going to go wrong because we, like, rent limos, and you would do that. And, like, the limo showed up, and it was way too small. So I'm, like, sitting on the bar like this. Like, my knees are about to break, and I'm like, this kind of stinks. And, you know, like, she's sitting on the other side of the limo. I'm like, how am I going to, like, you know, do one of those if she's over there? And so we show up, and the night just kind of gets weirder. We show up, our prom was at the Fox Theater, which is in downtown Atlanta. It's like where when Broadway shows come, that's where it is. And so it's this real fancy place. And we get out, but it was in the ballroom to the side. And in the actual theater, there was this hippie jam band playing called the String Cheese Incident. And so there were all these hippies out there. And Athens is a hippie town, so I mean, I got love for the hippies, you know? And this girl comes out. We're like in our tuxes and stuff. And this girl comes right up to my face. And she smelled horrible, just to be honest with you. And she would have stood up in that, like, haven't showered in 48 hours, confirm or deny. And she goes, y'all are going to prom. I never went to my prom. I was like, oh, that's great. And then she was like, you take me to your prom, I'll shave my armpits. And she showed me her armpits, and it had, like, this massive hair. And if that's you, go for it. You can do that. Just don't put it in my face. You know what I mean? Like, especially when I'm trying to mac on this girl. And so, mac, what? Y'all don't know? Yeah, I mean, that's what I was trying. I was trying to be like, I wanted this thing to work out. It didn't. It's not my wife, by the way. So, but we're friends, so it works out good. So we go in to prom, and we take our picture, because then you take a picture in prom. And so we'd been in there for like 5 minutes. And I'm going to tell you this. You're going to think I'm lying. This is a true story. So there were 5 minutes, and I was like, hey, let me use the restroom real quick. And so I started making my way to the restroom. I don't know if you're familiar with male tuxedo pants, but a lot of times what they have is you don't have like a belt. You have like this clasp thing on the side. And, you know, I don't own a tuxedo because I'm not extremely wealthy, you know, like, it's like, why would I need a tuxedo? So I'm wearing this rented tuxedo. And so we are walking in like the hallway area. And then all of a sudden it gets really crowded. And I turn and someone's finger clips the side of my pants. And not only does the clasp like open, it breaks completely off, and my pants fall straight to the ground. And they're sitting there around my ankles, and it was literally like my underwear to my knees, my socks pulled up to my knees, and my pants to my ankles, and I just freeze. I just freeze, and I'm just like, what? And it felt like 5 hours. It was probably more like 5 seconds. But then my friend Chandler saw what happened. And he was like, "Dear Lord," and pulled up my pants for me. Right? And he pulled them up for me, right? See, but the worst part about it was, is my date, Aaron, wasn't there. And so, like, how do you walk back to someone and be like, "Pants broke, hey." And so I walk back, I'm like, "Hey, my pants in my pockets," so that I'm, you know, so that I'm not just walking around in my underwear the whole time, hands in my pockets, like, "So, my pants broke." She's like, "What?" And it's like, "I don't know, this is crazy, you know, this strap thing happened," and yeah. And she was like, "So, like, we can't dance?" And I was like, "Nah, I mean, I can dance like this, you know, it's like, that's what I got to give." And then guess what? It never happened with Aaron. And so it was sad, but it was great because then when you went back to school on Monday, you got to relive that because everyone told me how funny that was that story happened to me. So there's like sort of a reason I told you that story. And the main reason is this, is that is literally the most embarrassing moment of my life, right? This is the most embarrassing moment of my life. And I want to be upfront with you is that tonight, that really this whole weekend, I've kind of asked you to be honest. And if I'm going to ask you to be honest, I figured I'd be honest. And so that's literally the most embarrassing thing that's happened to me. I don't really love talking about it, but if I'm going to ask you to be honest, I'm going to be honest. And so I really want to ask you tonight to be honest. So we're doing this weekend based around this idea of changing the narrative, right? That there are certain narratives that we have that we kind of inherit about what college is supposed to be about. And last night we talked about kind of this narrative that college is about building your brand, setting that trajectory for the future. And the way to do that is to build this brand. But what if instead your narrative was God building your character, where it wasn't as much about what you do as much as the person you're becoming? And then this morning we talked about the narrative that college is time to live it up, and the commands of God can seem just so burdensome and can seem so restricting and just not good at all. But we talked about how the narrative really is that the commands of God aren't burdensome, that they're not meant to keep us from life. They're meant to give us life. Tonight, the narrative I want to talk about is probably, I would say, the strongest narrative that I encounter when it comes to the college experience. And I wanna see if you can actually finish the line for me, okay? College is meant to be the best years of your life. That college is meant to be the best years of your life. And I wanna ask you this very simple question. What if they're not? What if you're in college right now? And what if even you're involved in a great ministry like CSF? And what if you're having a hard time? What if college isn't what you thought it was going to be? What if even in the midst of a crowd this big, you feel lonely? What do you do with that? Right? Saying college is the best years of your life, it implies this great pressure. This pressure to make college about like the most amazing years of my life. This is the most amazing years of my life. But what happens when we struggle? How do we deal with that? Right? I'm going to do, we've done Confirm or Deny all weekend. I'm going to do some rhetorical Confirm or Deny. So don't stand up. But I want you mentally, here, that's what rhetorical means, right? To confirm or deny this. Confirm or deny. You have something in your life, a situation or a sin issue that you don't like to talk about. Confirm or deny, you have ever said to yourself, if someone knew this was an issue or struggle for me, they wouldn't want to be my friend. Confirm or deny, you feel shame because of something that you have done or something that has been done to you. Confirm or deny, there is something in your life that you think about often, but you've never opened up to anyone else about. So I got this picture I want to show y'all. Put this up. That's me, my freshman year in 2003. No, I wasn't attractive, so you could do that, but see, big stripes were in, and we all wore undershirts all the time. And see, I'm smiling. This was actually the first picture of me that was ever on Facebook. Facebook came out when I was in college. And so like you watch Social Network, we were a part of that, right? And so that was my first picture in college. That was me my freshman year. And if you had talked to me about college, especially at the beginning of part of my first year, you can take that picture down. I've looked at it enough. Just wanted you to see me wearing red and black, obviously. If someone asked me how college is going, this is what my answer would be. Oh, it's amazing. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, right? And that was partly true because God was doing some things in my life. But the truth is this, is I like thrived in high school. You know how like most people are like, oh, high school, control, delete. You know what I mean? Like I liked high school, right? Like I told y'all, social science education major. So if I wasn't doing ministry, I'd be back in high school teaching and coaching. But then I came to this huge school and I didn't really know anyone. And I was scared. I was overwhelmed. I didn't know my place. Like I talked about, I was involved at Wesley. So I'd show up on Monday. I'd show up on Wednesday. Outside of that, I would eat lunch by myself. I would eat dinner by myself. I'd go into my dorm room and I'd close the door. My roommate was dating a girl from back home. So he went home every weekend. And it was just a rough start for me. If someone were to ask me, hey, how are you doing? I would answer them, say, I'm okay. I'm okay. But I wasn't okay. You see, I was afraid though. I was putting on this mask because I was afraid if college is supposed to be the best years of my life, then why am I so unhappy? If college is supposed to be the best years of my life and God is really my God, then why are things tough? Why does it feel like my life is a mess? Right? There were ways that I had bought into this narrative that college was about building up your brand, right? And so I acted like everything was good. I'd show up on Monday. I'd show up on Wednesday at Wesley. You know, I'd lift my hands in worship. I'd be passionate. I'd be leading. But then on the inside, when I wasn't there, it felt like my life was a mess. I put forward this front that everything was okay because I thought I got to build this brand. I got to get people to like me. I got to make some friends. Right, in other ways, I bought into this idea, this narrative we talked about this morning, that there were these sin issues in my life that I really needed to deal with. But instead of actually believing that what God had for me was best, I just tried to fight it on my own. I tried to prove to God how much I loved him by not doing the things that I really, really wanted to do. And so for the first semester of my college experience, I did not like college at all. And it was this hard thing for me because it was like, God, I'm trying to seek you. I'm trying to worship you. I'm trying to chase after you. But like, and college is supposed to be the best years of my life. Everyone talks about how awesome it is. And I get that some of the time, but I just look at these areas of my life and I feel like I'm a mess. And I feel like if I let anyone in, that they're going to run away. I remember praying one time and I was talking about some issues in my life. And I was like, God, would you just take them away? God, take them away, take them away, take them away. And I just felt the voice of God just speak to me in my inner man and just say, I'll take them away. Go tell someone about it. You know what I did? I said, no. I said, no. See, the truth is if someone were to observe our life, like if you had someone follow you around, you know, like it was a movie and there was that narrator, or like the Truman Show, if you're familiar with that movie, like they followed you around and followed your life. If they had to give a category to that movie, or if they were to write a book about your life, the truth of the matter is that for a lot of us, that genre would have to be a fiction. Because what we present to other people, what we put out there, how we want to be perceived is so different than the mess that's actually going on inside of us that we don't tell anyone about. See, I want to share with you 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. We've been in 1 John a few different times this weekend. And this is 1 John. Remember, he's just describing what it looks like to follow Jesus because these people have no idea, right? And this is what he starts off his book with. So, right, core, primary message. And he says this, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." You see, what John was trying to get, what scripture is telling us is that what 2,000 years ago, like two, you realize this is like really, really old. What he is saying right here, modern psychology is just catching up with. That if you keep your stuff, if you keep your mess, if you keep the struggle that you have inside of you, it's gonna kill you. That if you have this secret life inside of you and you never let anyone in, it's gonna cause anxiety, it's gonna cause depression, it's gonna cause all these incredible things, like not incredible things that we don't want in our life. Our issues, our struggles, our stuff, our mess will kill us if we keep it in the dark. See, it's kind of, I'm gonna do something here just for illustration point. It's kind of like this. Let's turn the lights out for a second, okay? All right, so what if right now, what if I said, hey, listen, everyone stay calm, but there's a huge issue in here. Like, let's say there's a fire in here, there's a bomb in here. We need to get out of this room as fast as possible. What would it be like? It would be chaos. Why would it be chaos? Because except for those nice little circle Christmas lights, you can't see anything. People would be getting hurt because you'd be trampling on top of each other. You wouldn't know like which way to go. You couldn't hear any directions. It'd be a mass chaos. Why? Because you can't see. Right? Now let's bring the lights back up. Now same issue, right? Same issue. Hey, there's a fire, there's a bomb, there's something we gotta do. We gotta exit the building immediately. There's still an issue to deal with. Do you get that? There's still an issue to deal with, but you can actually deal with it effectively. Why? Because you can actually see. Because you can see. And you see, the truth is this, is that according to 1 John, when we bring things into the light, what actually happens is we begin to be able to work on our issues at a deeper level than we can if we just keep them in the dark. Because we take a step out in humility and say, listen, this is really me. This is, I know I put forth this idea of who I am, but this is also part of me. And this is something I want to deal with. This is something I want in my life. And I'm sharing it. I'm bringing it into the light. I'm bringing it out. I'm not going to be ashamed anymore. I'm not going to hide it. And it's at that moment when God usually begins to start doing the deepest work in us. See, I think one reason that we aren't comfortable with being open with people, with being vulnerable with people, is that we have this idea that Christianity is some like PG rated religion, right? We think it's like VeggieTales for the rest of our life. Like it's just, I know. Well, apparently for some of y'all, it will be VeggieTales for the rest of your life. Right, but we get this idea that it's some PG rated religion, but I got a newsflash for you, it's not. If you actually read the Bible, do you see what is in there? Like if they made an actual movie about the Bible, like in like acted it out the way it is described in the scriptures, it would be rated R at best. I made a list of things that are just in the Bible, just off the top of my head. The Bible is a book with murder, wars, torture, sex, rape, genocide, cheating, lying, racism. You see, the Bible's not this neat, pretty little book. And now those aren't things that line up with the heart of God. The reason why those things are in the book is because the book has stories of people, and people, because of their sin, do really stupid, jacked up things. But the whole point of the book is that despite the mess, despite the jacked up things, God is not absent. He does not withdraw. He does not say, get your act together, then you can come and see me. He says, I am coming down to serve you. I will come down and I will meet with you. I will make a way for restitution, for reconciliation back to myself. God is not afraid of your mess. He is not afraid of it. Can you give a clap for that? Because the truth is the Bible is not some PG-rated story, and your story probably isn't either. There's probably parts of your story that you wish you could edit out if you got to go back and do. There probably are things that you wish weren't in your life that are currently in your life. Or things that you wish you wouldn't have done that you did do. And you just keep them inside. And you don't open up. See, I think the narrative that I would love for y'all to kind of adopt is this, is, you know, there's this idea that college is the best years of your life, but I think a much healthier place to live is simply this, is that it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. That it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. That the reason why it's not okay to stay that way is because Jesus has provided a way out. Right, I want to read this to you. This is James 5:16, and he's given, James is like the practical guy. So if you like practical stuff, go read the book of James. And he says this, he says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. You see, the Bible teaches when we're honest with one another, and when we get real about what's going on in our life, both with God and with other people, when we pray for one another, when we rally around one another, when we get honest, when we say, listen, I'm not okay. I'm not okay. And we begin to pray for one another and fight for one another, that God comes and does the things that only He can do. See, I shared my story earlier, but I never finished it. Right? I talked about my start of college. And what that was like for me and how it was a difficult time. And I remember, like I told you, that I felt like God said, hey, you got these issues that are going on in your life. Go tell someone. And I said, no. And to be honest with you, I sat on that for 6 months. And for 6 months, I'd be like, God, take this away. Take this away. And He'd be like, go tell someone. God, take this away. Take this away. Go tell someone. Go bring it into the light. God, take this away, take this away. Hey, confess it to someone. Let them pray for you. So then finally one night I had the guts to muster up. We had our Wednesday night service. And at the end of our service, we have people down at the front to pray. And I finally got enough courage that I walked down and I went to someone. I said, hey, this is what is actually going on in my life. This is what's actually going on. And from that moment on, my life started to really change. That the victory started becoming more and more frequent. And that after about 6 months, 7 months, through discipleship, through talking things out, through starting to bring things in the light, I started living in freedom. You see, but most of us, to be honest, we worship at the altar of cool. We worship at the altar of cool. We want to be cool so bad. And cool can look very different ways, right? But we care so much about what other people think that we stop and ask other people for permission before we go and obey God and do what He's called us to do, right? That God here, very first John, James basically says, hey, you got mess. We're not surprised by that. Bring it out. Start talking to people about it. Start talking to God about it. Quit hiding it in front of God. Quit hiding it in front of other people. But we're afraid to take that mask off. But I just want to say this to you as part of even my testimony. You know what's better than being cool? Being free. Being free. And as I've prayed for y'all this weekend. I've prayed for y'all, and even even while I've been here, before and when I've been here, I keep thinking of this tag to a song we do where I work. And it's a tag, which means we just kind of throw it in there like as a second bridge sometimes. And we actually don't know where it came from. Like, we think maybe another ministry brought it, but it's like not in any song we can find, but we just kind of sing it. It's just kind of something that we sing over and over. And I'm not going to sing it to you because I can't sing, but I can say it to you. And this is how it goes. Remember, this is what's come up in my mind like pretty much every time I've been praying for y'all and praying for this weekend. And it just goes like this. It goes, I want to be free from anything that keeps me. From more of you, I want to be free from anything that keeps me. From more of you. And we just repeat it over. I want to be free from anything that keeps me. For more of you, we say it four times, and you kick up that key change, and you're like, I'm gonna be, you know, that's when it gets big, right? And I think that's God's invitation to you tonight. I think that's God's invitation to you tonight. That there is freedom for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You're struggling with something that you've done in the past. There is now no shame for those who are covered under the blood of Jesus. Do you want to be free from everything that keeps you from more of Him? Then maybe the step you need to take, maybe the paradigm you need to start living in, maybe the narrative that you need to begin is that it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. That it's time for you to take that thing and bring it out into the light. So you can go ahead and come on. So I'm gonna pray for y'all. And this is what I really wanna encourage you to do. Is they have a few different things set up. You're gonna have some time for worship. You're gonna have some time in family groups. I want to encourage you to be honest. And I want to encourage you to be bold. And I want to encourage you to be courageous. Here, listen to me. If you want a real relationship with a real God, then you have to start getting real. That if you want a real relationship, you don't just want to go through the religious motions, right? You don't want to just go through like the act. You don't want to just play the part. If you want a real relationship with the real, true, living God, then it's time to start getting real. And tonight can be that first step for some of y'all. So if y'all would bow your head and pray with me. If you could just hold out your hands in front of you just like this. I think it's so important to change our posture when we pray sometimes, just as a reminder. And just y'all repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive everything you have for me. Would you come and do in me the things that only you can do? Would you give me the boldness and the courage to live in the light? And so, God, I pray for every single person here. I pray for every single student. I pray for every single staff member. And God, I pray that you would put inside of them that knowledge, that understanding that it's okay to not be okay, that you're not afraid of their mess. You're not afraid of their struggle. You're not ashamed for what they've done in the past, that you're not waiting to condemn them for the actions that they've done, but with open arms, you're saying, come and live in the light. Come and step into freedom. Come take on my narrative. Come and meet with me. Come allow me to be your God. Would you come right now and would you show every single person here, Lord, that the safest place they can be is in your arms? Would you show them, would you convince them of your willingness to forgive, your willingness to redeem, and your readiness to restore? So God, would you put in all of us a heart that would desire the light? So God, come and do the things that only you can do.